Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 145. I'd like to read this psalm with you this morning. And I like to go back also. You know, we like a little variety at times. Now, here's something that we did in every morning worship, as I recall. I don't think there was any variety about this. When I was young, when I was on staff and the Brother Gardner led the morning worships, we always read a chapter or part of a chapter. Every morning we did this, and every morning we read around, so you had a verse to read. And we have too many people to do that with this chapter, so I was going to say the men could do it. Oh, there's too many women. I don't know what to do. But this is also what we did. When we were done, you had a chance to say something about something in the chapter that spoke to your heart. That's what we did every single morning worship that I can remember. And then he talked too. He spoke too. And Brother Paul doesn't remember this because he's always telling me how short morning worship used to be before I came. But, or not always. I'm teasing him and I hope he teases me. But anyway, we often were in here from 9:15 till after 11. Susan will testify to that. I don't know where he was. It was often after 11. And often, like this morning, it'd be sunny when we came in, and it would get a little more cloudy. It'd even start raining by the time we got out. Anyway, this was not just once a period. This was often, and that's my childish memory, I realize, but it sure seemed that way. Okay, anyway, how shall we read? We have this variety of translations here. Let me see. This is how we can do it. Who has a King James Version? Raise your hand. Okay, we're going to read the first verse. All right, number one, King James. Who has an NIV? We're going to read the second verse, okay? Who has something different? What is it?
I have the English Standard.
Okay, you're going to read the... What do you have, English Standard?
No, King James.
Oh, no, could you read with the King James people? And Matt, you read the third verse, okay? All right. If you have something different, look on with someone who has one of those three versions, okay? And then I'm going to open it up to you to say something about this chapter, some verse that speaks to you, touches your heart, or something that you want to share right from this word that we have read. Okay? And don't worry, it won't be 11 when we finish, unless you make me wait. Because I'm stubborn. I'm going to have participation from you this morning. Okay, at least a little. Okay, God's Word, David's Psalm of Praise. Verse 1, come. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable.
One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts.
They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works.
They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness.
They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness.
The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love.
The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made.
All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee.
To make known to the children of men your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Verse 14. The Lord upholds all those who fall, and lifts up all who are bowed down.
The eyes of all look to you, and do give them their food in due season.
Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing.
The Lord is righteous in all of his ways, and loving towards all he has made.
The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth.
He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them.
The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy.
My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever.
Thank you. Verse 13, did you notice it was shorter when we read it than it is in the NIV? There's a reason for that. In some of your texts that the Bible is translated from, and the NIV is taken from one of them, there is this added sentence in verse 13 that says, "The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made." That's also in the Dead Sea Scrolls, I understand. This is an acrostic psalm, by the way, meaning that I explained this the other day. Oh, you might have been doing dishes or something. Each verse starts with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which has 22 letters. And the letter N, we would say, N-U-N, is missing in our King James Bible. But in some of the manuscripts, as I said, it is included. And here it is in your NIV. That's the one that's missing. So you have all 22. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. And that's why it's the text that the Bible was translated from in the King James that is missing. But now the floor is yours. Has your heart been touched by something that you read here this morning? I'd like to hear about it. Please be free.
In verse 4, we read, "One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts." That's at least two or three times a year, our family all gets together. Christmas, Thanksgiving, and sometimes anniversary, birthday. But it's just my privilege to be able to share the Lord with them. Some of these little ones, the grandchildren, they don't hear this, of the works of the Lord all the time. I know in the school systems now, you don't hear anything about the Lord. It's politically incorrect to even pray in school anymore. And it's just that stood out to me that we can, to our generations, to our children, grandchildren, so forth, to declare the works and praise of the Lord.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
To his works, that one generation shall praise thy works to another, and another in verse 10, all thy works shall praise thee, and there's a few others, but you know, I love to read the testimonies, the biographies mm-hmm. of the saints before us. I often use them in my devotions, and they have much to speak, and it always reminds me of the verse in Revelation 14 that ties with this, I think. It says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And I always look at that as far as the work of the Lord through them and how it continues on from generation to generation. People that we read that lived in the 1600s and the 1700s, and how alive and ever working the Word of God is. It works mightily in those who believe, and it continues to work in us. I'm thankful for that.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you.
My attention was drawn to verse 5. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. And down in the palace, before breakfast, we've begun to look at several places in the Bible where God calls his men. And today we looked at Isaiah 6. And just in passing, there was this thought of how majestic God is. God is so holy and so majestic that the angels are blinded by his glory. And then we looked at Isaiah 53 quickly and how it says that because of that Jesus was so despised and because of the shame that he bore, that we hid our faces from him. And what a contrast there of that work and what Jesus did on the cross. How he left that glory and came to bear my sin and my shame. There's I heard a professor quoted once. He said that the attitude of American Christianity is, I love sinning, God loves forgiving, so the world is made just right. And it's so demeaning. But then to see what God had to give up for me, and I'm just so thankful today for that.
Did we sing on Sunday something like this? I can only paraphrase, but in the morning meeting, from the throne of highest glory to the cross of deepest woe, all to ransom guilty sinners, flow my praise forever flow. I think it was something like that. Flow my praise forever flow. You reminded me of that. Amen.
Verse 10 also blessed me. And all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and my saints shall bless thee. Thy works shall praise thee. The nature came to mind, and the different aspects of nature. That always blesses me when I see the intricacies of flowers, fish, whatever, and the variety, the imagination that God must have. It just boggles my mind, and I just wonder how these brilliant men can study this and just say it just happened. That boggled my mind even more than anything. But it reminded me of the verse in Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. And of course, the gist there is that people have no excuse. They can see in nature God, and God reveals himself. And I'm thankful that it's constantly a blessing. I never get tired of just marveling and praising the Lord when I look closely at a flower or whatever. And I'm thankful for God's imagination. If we would try to design flowers, we may design one or two or three flowers, and that's it. But when we think of these ugly animals he made, beautiful animals that he's made, it's it's just marvelous, and I thank God for revealing himself through nature.
And sings my soul, my Savior God to thee.
I am personally, but I know that we all share in this, that Brother Paul's here and meeting behind that organ and using his fingers to play and his feet, and it's what it feels like, it's what's supposed to be. So thank you. You had very good substitutes, by the way, over the weekend, and let's see, we had Sarah Goronsky for the most part, and we had Janice yesterday evening, and then we had these other musicians, too, that lent a lot of help to us, and we were grateful for them. But as good as they are, and as well as they did, it doesn't take away from how happy we are that you're with us. Right?
Right.
Okay, who's next?
Verse 8 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great mercy. A lot of times I know when I do bad things, and I feel bad about it. And then when I ask God for forgiveness, I know he'll give it to me because he's compassionate and full of mercy. And I'm really thankful that I can be forgiven for what I do wrong.
Verse 19 is special to me. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. What really spoke to my spirit about this verse is that it's conditional. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. I like that. It brought to mind some 37. It brought to mind 37:3 for me. Trust in the Lord and do good. So that is conditional also. Trust in the Lord and do good, so that thou shalt dwell in the land and verily thou shalt be fed. I must trust him. In order that he feeds me, he must have my full trust. It also led me to David's 27th Psalm. David says in 27:4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. We just sang the hymn this morning making reference to the beauty of the Lord, and it just was touching to me. The verse is special to me in that I know that it isn't just, this verse is not just for anybody. It is for those of us who trust him, those who fear him. So I am grateful for his word here this morning.
In verse 3, it says that his greatness no one can fathom. And in 6, it says how the power of your awesome works, how we will proclaim the great deeds. A lot of times it's hard to fathom all the things that God has done. But yet, you know, we praise him as we look outside, like Brother Paul said, with the nature and everything. It's true. You can't fathom all the greatness that God does. But you look at all that he's created, look at us, look at everything around us. It is truly hard to fathom. But yet, you know, we are abundant in everything that he gives us. And he is worthy, and we joyfully sing of his righteousness, and we do proclaim his great deeds.
Verse 15 says, "The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time." I note that it does not say that he will give them their food when they want it, or just when they ask for it, but at the proper time. And the Lord knows the proper time for everything that I need, and for everything that we all need. And as long as our eyes are looking to him, then I know I will receive it just when I need it.
Verse 9 says, "The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all that he has made." Well, he always shows kindness to us, even when we don't deserve it. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that he showed that for us when he died on the cross.
In the second half of the third verse, it says his greatness no one can fathom. And not too long ago, I think my dad and I were having a conversation about the Hubble telescope. We were talking about what they call the deep image. It was just, they pointed it at a spot on the sky where they didn't see anything. And then what they found was galaxy upon galaxy. So many stars you can't conceive of how many it is. It just struck me that God that great has interest in us, cares about what happens to us.
In verse 14 it says, "The Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down." It's nice to know that, like, when you're down or when you fall, that God will always be there for you when you need him.
Verse 13 says, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations." It's nice to know that we have hope in the only thing that's actually going to last. There's so many people put their faith in this world, and when you realize, you know, kingdoms come, go, empires come and go, even throughout history, the only thing that's actually going to last is God's kingdom, and that provides great hope.
Receiving a kingdom that cannot be saved. Everything else will be shaken. But the things that cannot be shaken will remain. Thank you. Good one, Abigail. And all of you. It's been great. Someone else yet?
Verse 16. "Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." It reminds me of Calvary. Jesus opened his hand, and his hands refused for us all. And that word said, "It is finished, man's redemption is complete." And in that opening of his hand, he gave it warm. His blood was shed for all. And here it says, "Thou satisfiest the desire of every living thing." And in that opening of his hand, he is able, it's available for all. He can satisfy the desire of every living thing, all those that call upon him. So I'm thankful that he did open his hand and power of course for us all.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm reading the NIV, so I want to add that verse 13. In NIV it says, "The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he had made." Well, the old chapter talking about the greatness of our God kingdom, unshakable kingdom, and what He has made. And we always offer our thanksgiving and praise to Him. And here talking about God is faithful to all His promises and is loving toward all He has made. We are made from God, God makes us. God always remembers His promises. Although He's a great God, He's a powerful God, His kingdom cannot be removable, it cannot be moved, but God keeps His promises and loving toward He has made, giving all the glory.
There's a verse that goes along with that. Number 17, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and loving toward all that He has made. And there are times, the reason I'm standing is because I remember when we were kids. Everybody who commented had to stand up. I think that's true. So I can't help myself. Not that I commented a lot. There are times, I guess, in our limited understanding where a verse like this comes into question in our minds. Are you righteous in all that you do? I can look up at the sky at night and see things that I cannot understand, completely are foreign to me. For instance, just pondering infinity, looking out into the blackness of space is something that my mind cannot understand at all. And so I can take this verse at face value. I can look at God's word and say, Lord, You're righteous. Your judgments are true and faithful altogether. Although my limited understanding may not permit me to accept that, my confidence and hope in Your word does. And what a tremendous possibility we have of accepting God's word as true and knowing that He does, everything that He does is true and faithful and that He's loving to all that He has made. I'm so thankful that our minds can accept that. The light of Jesus, the light of God's truth can enter into my heart.
For that verse, the King James read, He's holy in all His works. I have NAS, it says He's kind, so kind, loving, but King James is holy. And I think, well, how does that work, you know? But it's all tied together, apparently. What He does in our lives is good and perfect and acceptable. That means it cannot be improved on. He can't be any more kind or any more holy. If He did something else, then it wouldn't be holy and it wouldn't be kind. Sometimes I think, well, if you're holy, then you've got to get what's done. And doesn't matter about the compassion part, but apparently it all fits together in His perfect character. So obviously, whenever I don't understand, which is all the time, He's being very, very kind to me. And I can thank Him and faith that He's been kind as well as holy.
Thank you. Sister Rotko said that we could see the Lord here and learn to know Him. So many descriptive words about Him that grip us when we read this psalm. I suppose it's a call to praise, but thoughtful praise. We're to consider Him. And I thought of this when you prayed. I knew we were going to take this psalm this morning. You said about knowing the Lord better today. I thought this psalm really teaches us wonderful things about God, and it would be good to ponder them today. So many things that, yes, we could be kept here a long time, but let's just go through a brief outline. You would say that in the first stanza, the greatness of the Lord is emphasized. How great is our God, And then the second stanza, I'm using the breaks in the NIV. There are four major portions here in this psalm. In the second stanza, the theme would be that the Lord is gracious. So he is to be praised, an opening statement about exalting and extolling and praising his name forever. Then he is great and he is gracious. And then he is faithful. And then he is righteous. I would put those adjectives over these four stanzas, although they all include a number of other things. I would say that is what is emphasized. God is great, God is gracious, God is faithful, God is righteous. If you would dwell on one of those things today, you would be changed. If you would take these four things and just consider them. Some people, their minds work differently. They can take more things in at once, and others will just zero in on one thing and spend the whole week on it. But God is great. God is gracious. God is faithful. God is righteous in the sense that he is just. He is faithful to his people. He is faithful to himself. I heard someone saying that on the phone. Be honest to yourself. Just before in the office, actually the other day, and it reminded me of having to memorize something in Hamlet when I was in high school, I think. Polonius' advice to his son Laertes. And at the end it said, "Above all else to thine own self be true, for it must follow as the night the day, thou canst not then be false to any man." And in thinking of the Lord's righteousness in this last verse, it doesn't mean that he is pure or holy as much as just. He is one who helps the needy, whose heart goes out in compassion, and because he is just, he will fulfill the desires of those who call upon him in truth. Great, gracious, faithful, righteous, or just. 19 and 20. Or actually, yes, 19 and 20. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. I think this is the first mention in this psalm of the wicked. It goes along with his perfect love that he must punish wickedness, that which has come against the well-being of his people and the carrying out of his purposes over all the years must be punished and will be eternally. But the Lord watches over all who love him. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. Those two things go together. We mentioned reverence and fear already the other day. Loving God and fearing God, they go together. And they cannot be separated. I just want to stress that. I see them in these two verses. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. The Lord watches over all who love him. A God as great and gracious and faithful and righteous as ours is to be loved and is to be feared. And you really can't have one without the other. If you fear without love, talking about in relation to God, we understand what this fear is. It's a reverence before him. If we fear without love, then we're not really free. Then we're serving because we must. But if we love without fear, there's a familiarity that is unseemly. We're supposed to be free in approaching God, but he's not our buddy. He's our God. He's our Savior. And so when you think of it, it's right that both of these things are part of our approach to God and our relationship with Him. We revere Him. We bow before Him in reverence. We walk softly before Him. We want to trust Him and honor and obey Him. And we love Him too, for He has loved us. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. The Lord watches over all who love Him. I trust we find ourselves in both of those verses. God will fulfill our desires. He is watching over us. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord, and let every creature praise His holy name forever and ever. Amen. The psalmist says, I'll praise the Lord. And then he says, let everyone praise the Lord. You ever encourage someone else to praise the Lord? You're praising the Lord in meeting, and you look at the person next to you, and they're doodling or texting, and you say, hey, what are we here for? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me hear you sing God's praises. The psalmist did that. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Let all flesh speak the praise of the Lord. Sing His praises. Let all the people praise Thee forever and forevermore. Amen. So we want to stir ourselves to praise the Lord, and we want to help others too. He's worthy, right? He's great. His greatness is unsearchable. He's gracious. He's faithful. He's righteous. He loves you. Let's fear Him and love Him with all our hearts and praise Him. You know, you're the real deal if you praise the Lord, right? We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We love Him and we trust Him, and today we're getting to know Him better as we meditate in His Word. We open our hearts to Him, and there's a wonderful way of opening wide. It's, Lord, I acknowledge Your greatness and Your goodness, Your grace, Your faithfulness is great. You are righteous in all Your ways, Lord. I love You. I praise You. Let us magnify the Lord and exalt His name together and sing number one in our hymn book yet, this hymn book. Oh, worship the King. And thank you. That was beyond my expectations. Thank you. That was great. What a great group. Let's stand and sing praise to the One who is great over all, our King Eternal.
mercies how tender, how firm to the end. Our Maker, Defender, Redeemer, and Friend.
Amen. Let me remind you about the prayer this afternoon, staff prayer, and everyone's invited to join at 4:15. All right, Sister Susan, will you pray with us, please, in closing?
Lord Jesus, our hearts are humbled to think that you love us so much, Lord, and you want this fellowship with us.
Amen.
We pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll help us to stay close to you today and to feed on the word that we've heard today, all day, Lord Jesus. Help us to grow today, Lord, in loving you more and having unbroken fellowship with you. Oh, Jesus, we pray that your presence will cover this whole camp. Bless the children in the village and the cottages. And let us all, Lord Jesus, just feed on you today. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Have a great day. Amen.